give witness to God at work in their life. We have done this for several years now, in which the first Sunday of the year is a time for sharing with one another. And I have already gone around and asked a few people who I thought had a big year of 2017 and asked if they would say something, and so we'll hear from some of those. But I do want everyone to feel welcome to share what God has been put on your heart, whether it is something that had to do with all of the year 2017 or something very recent. We already had one of those, and that it was Liz's father who passed away this last Friday, and it was very sudden. Chris said that he was preparing to come to Alicia's baptism, and then all of a sudden this happened. And so it can be sudden, it can be long, but we do want people to say what God has been doing in your life and to give testimony to that. At the end of it, about a few minutes before noon probably, we will stop and we will do communion together. Communion, I feel, fits very well in a service like this. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that because we eat of the same loaf, it makes us one body. And there's something in that. Jesus dying for us not only saves us individually and binds us to God as his Father, but also binds us to one another as brothers and sisters, as a family all together. Well, I hope that you are now thinking of maybe something that you could share. And I would like it if the ushers could just manage the microphones here. There's two of them. You can stand up where you are, or you are welcome to come up to the front, which helps us see you. And I know that for those that are videoing it, then they can see you talk. Before you say something, I came onto something this last week, and perhaps better late than never. But it is the 100th anniversary of Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. And many of you probably have this on your shelf. I looked for it and found inside the cover Carla Dick, who I later married. So this has been there for a while. I thought, I'm going to do this. There's a devotional for every day, and there are many new editions coming out here on the 100th anniversary, and so I just recommend that this is a really powerful thing. They're just short, one-page things, but they are really inspirational about your walk with God. Oswald Chambers was a chaplain for YMCA, and in 1917 had been sent to minister to soldiers, New Zealanders and Australians, who had used Egypt as their staging ground before going into battle in that terrible and tragic battle of Gallipoli. And so there he was as chaplain to those men. And in 1917, he had appendicitis, but made the decision that he would leave the hospital beds open for the soldiers coming back from battle. And in the end, it infected. They did emergency surgery on him, but couldn't save him. And that's how Oswald Chambers died 100 years ago, right in the middle of World War I. His widow then took sermons that he had preached and portioned them out into small little devotionals, not more than one page, and made it into 366 little devotionals, one for every day of the year. And this has become one of the most popular devotional books of the last century. It has never gone out of print. Millions and millions of them have been sold, and it's been meaningful to many people. I've never read it myself, but I am going to do it this year, every day. And so if you have a copy, you might want to join me in that and be inspired by this great and godly man. My Utmost for His Highest. All right, that's me. We have some who are ready to speak, but we also want to open it up to everyone, a time of sharing, witnessing to God's work in our life.
I just wanted to say I've struggled through this last 6 months. through it. I've been so blessed to be a part of this church family. I was under breath. I've never been without a ride somewhere or had help when I need it. And I just want to, I can express how grateful I am to all of you for your help and your prayers. So thank you.
Tell us what we should be praying for right now.
Okay. So officially, I got my license back on Tuesday. Well, but they still have to put paperwork through, so it is another couple weeks before I can actually drive.
Well, let's pray right now. Lord, we lift up to you Jonquil Teason and pray that very quickly she could get this license done with and that paperwork done and she could drive again. And Lord, may she never have a seizure again, that this would never be a problem, and that she could just enjoy being a mom to her three boys and taking them around. And Lord, we just want you to take good care of her. In Jesus' name, amen.
January 2nd of last year, my chemo started. And in October, I was denied surgery because my cancer spread from my left lung to my right lung. And I thought everything was just going to crash. And in November, I became a legal guardian of my stepson. And my life just started to pick up a little bit. And it got better and better and better. And then Vern bought me a car for Christmas. And I no longer have to drive that tiny car up and down the road. And I can fit all of my family in my car. And I ended up with pneumonia in November for the fourth time. And the Prevnar 13 shot did not work for me. But I was blessed to get a break from chemo. And I got a holiday in December with my son to go to Edmonton. But I also got to see some doctors while I was there. So it was kind of a good holiday because the doctors there told me that there's hope that I could have surgery and there is a new pill that I'm going to start for a case study that is going to start me on the 25th of January. And hopefully I'll be eligible for surgery come April. So...
Well, there's lots to pray there, too, and I'd be happy to, but maybe there's somebody else who would like to pray for Pamela that she could be done with this cancer. Is there anyone? Thank you, Barb. Do you mind just getting the microphone to her?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing our church family with Pam, and we ask you, Lord, to continue to encourage her and, Lord, to heal her body. We know that you have the power over all these things, and we just want to have you encourage us to encourage Pam and bless their family, that we can walk with them as they go through this journey and know that they are not alone with you, Lord, nor with us. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Pam. And thanks, Barb.
Last Sunday, at Pastor Chris's recommendation, we did prayer after with the people that were around us, and that caused Don and I to pray with a couple of folks sitting behind us that were visiting that we had not met before, and ends up we both had the same burden on our hearts when you have spent almost 2 weeks with family coming and going, some family you haven't seen for a while. But the biggest burden on our hearts was our unsaved family members, those that don't know the Lord, and more grievous as those that have no desire to know the Lord. They don't want to hear anything about him. And so because of this prayer of our hearts, there was liquid prayers that were shed, and the Holy Spirit had me share with them how at 28 years of age, and I hadn't even stepped in a church or even thought about the Lord for 13 years since I'd left home, at 28 years of age, 12 hours before I accepted the Lord, I told the woman who would be instrumental in bringing me to church the next morning, I told her I didn't need God and God can't help me. 12 hours later, I was the only person in the church that answered an altar call, which I had never heard of in my life, that it existed. And I was on my knees before the Lord, weeping and begging for forgiveness, because that's what I so badly needed, was forgiveness for walking without him. And he lifted me up. He turned me around. And I've not been the same since. And so our hearts can be heavy and we think, is there any hope? The Holy Spirit just chose to remind me, just think back, the difference 12 hours made. So I want to encourage all of you that are walking this similar path, that we cannot say to the Lord, it's impossible, because with him, all things are possible.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I can share a little bit. Sometimes we find that we might find that our spiritual life is in a rut, or we don't see God working in our lives. But he's all around us. He brings people in and out of our lives. And one of the ways that Carolyn and I really enjoy meeting people, so to speak, is through audiobooks. Now we've managed to borrow some of the books from our Linden Church library here. And they've all impacted us in different ways. One of them was Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, and I'm sure many of you have heard of that one, where a devout Muslim was looking for answers. Allah wasn't really meeting those needs, and he, through a series of events and meeting different Christian people, he converted to Christianity and became quite a powerful speaker, and wrote a couple books that helped other Muslims to convert as well. The other audiobook that Carolyn and I really enjoy, and if you know Carolyn, she likes to listen to things over and over and over again, so I hope these audio CDs still work if you happen to take them out again. But the other one was The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. That is such a powerful and tremendous story about a Christian family during World War II. Accepting the role of hiding Jews from the Germans. And unfortunately, their family got caught and taken to camp, various camps. But every time we listen to it, there's always something, a little gem in there that we can glean from that. And if we ever look for inspiration, if we're ever down in our spirit, I just think of Corrie Ten Boom. She has such a powerful story. Or even, I'm sorry, I can't remember the person who wrote Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, but his experience too. They're all powerful. And maybe one of the stories that Corrie had talked about that really speaks to me is they had just been moved to a different camp, her and her sister, And her sister has always been quite faithful and quite strong, and Corey was kind of down and out and finding it hard, as you can well imagine. And her sister, they were standing in this dormitory, I would say. And she, like I said, Corey was down and out, and her sister said, "Betsy, you know, think of something that you're thankful for." And Corey went through a different list, and then she couldn't think of anything else that to be thankful for. And Betsy said, "Fleas," because this place was totally flea infested. And how could you be thankful for fleas? Well, it turns out that, well, Corey said, "Okay, I'll be thankful for fleas, but Lord, I'm not really thankful for that." Anyways, it turns out that later on in the story, you learn that in that dormitory, they were able to carry on Bible studies and sing, and they actually had smuggled in a Bible so they could read that and share that with all the other ladies there. But it turns out the reason why they could do that is because the Germans hated fleas and despised, they didn't want to get dirty, and God provided that for them. So God works in powerful ways, and we can be thankful for even the smallest things.
My friend wants to help me be brave, so he's going to stand with me. So Pastor Chris asked if I wanted to say a few things about the busy year that we've had. So in this past year, we had twins, which is busy. And we also have Emma, who's not quite 5, and Grant is 2.5, so extra busy. So anyways, I wrote it down because I have to. When I was writing the story, I thought I should probably just back up what happened this year to November 2016, because that's kind of when all of this started. We already knew we were going to have a baby, but I had done some blood work, just regular blood work, and we got a phone call from our doctor who said that there was a problem with the results and I needed to have an ultrasound because I was possibly having something called a molar pregnancy. And if anyone has never heard of that, it means that I was, instead of growing a baby, I was possibly growing a tumor. So I went for the ultrasound, and I went in just thinking so much. I just had so much peace, and I just felt like God was saying to me, don't even think about it because I can handle this, and that was awesome because I didn't have to worry. So the ultrasound started, and the lady forgot to turn on the TV screen, and I was just sitting there waiting, and she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, do you want to see what I'm looking at?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know, like, is there anything exciting to see?" Expecting to see a white blob. And she kind of laughed out loud and said, "Well," and she turned on the TV, and there was two little white babies, two little white blobs turning circles. So that was God surprising us. and I left the room, again, just thinking, like, this is awesome. Okay, like, God can handle this. I don't need to worry about this. So we made it. We made it to the end of that. And we have these beautiful, healthy babies. And I think just what I've learned this year is that God has just given me so much peace in our home. And it has nothing to do with me, because our home is not peaceful. but God has given us this peace, and I just have had the chance to enjoy watching our kids grow instead of being stressed out and just trying to survive. So I'm just so thankful for that.
Well done, Kim.
So 2017 has been a really busy and strange year for my wife and I. I'm Alec, for those of you who don't know, and my wife is Erin. 2017, we started off living in Surrey and BC, and I was working full-time at my dad's company as a manager, and we kind of had, I guess, it set. We didn't really need to worry about much, I guess. But, you know, when we're comfortable, that's when God doesn't like, because then we're not growing. And so I knew I wanted to go back to school at some point and do more worship arts, maybe worship pastor kind of thing. And God kept pushing us. And in March, I was accepted to Prairie, which I didn't think I would ever really be moving to Alberta. My wife is from out here, and she had been in Prairie before. She did her EMT program there. And so we kind of figured, well, if I moved out and did schooling out here, she could work full-time as a paramedic, and that would be perfect. That'd be great. Again, that's wasn't God's plan. And so just before we're all set to move out here, which was much out of my comfort zone. I've never been away from home like that. We were, again, pushed and told that maybe we both should be in school. And so here we are now, full-time schooling, both of us. It's been a lot of trusting in God, not knowing what's next, not knowing how we're going to pay for everything, but it's just been God telling us to be patient and to trust in him and to wait. And we got here, and it's been very welcoming from the church, from the community, and we really love that. So thank you for all your welcomes and smiles and conversations that you've had with us, and for your support as well. So thank you.
Okay. Yes, Alec and Aaron, we are so glad you're here. Welcome.
I'm John. Last year was a really good year for me. Excuse me, I'm a little nervous. But I had a good year. I got married in March, which was awesome, to my beautiful wife, Jill. And then we kind of had, I had a bit of an accident, which turned out to be really good for me as well. But it was really hard the first week. And I remember about the third day in late in the evening, I felt like, this was the end. I'm probably going to get done in by this. And I told that to Jill. And then we kind of had a pretty long laugh for like an hour. But then a few days later, on the eighth day exactly, I was in a lot of pain the first 7 days. Like it was really hard for me. But on the eighth day, it felt like all the prayers you guys had been and praying for me, it was finally answered. And my pain went from my leg, it just kind of overnight it went away for most of the part. I mean, I could still feel I had a broken leg, but it was a lot more bearable, and I started to be able to sleep because I hadn't slept mainly at all that first week from the medication and the pain. So for me, what I learned was not patience. I didn't learn patience. That's one thing I didn't learn. But what I learned was to rely on God, and that prayer actually is answered. And you just have to be persistent, I guess. But it was quite a blessing to have that. That this church family was supporting us both so much, and we appreciated it so much. And prayer is answered. And for me, when we read some, like at the beginning, a while there, you know, you kind of go through the motions and you just pray for everyone that's on the back of the bulletin. You move on. You don't think about it really, but that's an important time, and that was something that I learned throughout this last 6 months. Was that's really important. So that's, I guess, for encouragement for me and for you guys. So thank you.
Oh, that's really well said, John. Thank you.
Redeemed, our love to proclaim it. I thank God once again this last week. He drew near to me once again and told me my sins are forgiven. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hi, my name is Candace, and this fall, I had an experience, and it was quite the experience. I was working part-time at a place called Bit Fury, kind of uncertain as to my future. I'd been telling myself that wonderful verse, Jeremiah 19, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future, and I'd just been really holding on to that. Mm-hmm. And everything, and I had gotten off work for the day, and I got this phone call, and it was this person telling me, I owed the government thousands of dollars because I had messed up. It was a scam, but I had messed up on my taxes or whatever, but I couldn't talk to a lawyer. I couldn't do all of this stuff. I had no idea that this scam was going on around. So I was like, okay, I owe all this money. And I was like, when I first started on the phone, I was driving, had it on speaker or whatever, driving. But then I just got so upset as I was talking to this person because I'm like, I would never do this. I don't want to mess up. I've never tried to take away or keep money that doesn't belong to me. So please, like, how can you be telling me that I owe all this money? I'm like, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. Like, I don't know where you're getting this from. So, but whatever. So I pulled into this parking lot right outside of Prairie. And this guy on a bike was biking by. And he actually stopped. He biked, came over to me. And he asked me, as I'm like on the phone, bawling my eyes out, he's like, can I pray for you? And I'm like, yeah, but I can't tell you why I'm upset or else I'm going to jail. And then but he sat there and he prayed for me for a good 5 minutes. And then he was like, okay, are you going to be okay? I'm like, well, I think so. And so whatever. And he took off or he left. And then I ended up talking to my dad. And he's like, go to the police station right now. And because this is a scam, I'm like, okay. So I went to the police station, and of course, Carolyn Kung was there. And she just put her arms around me. She's like, this is not okay. And it's just, it was that moment. Because, like, I mean, when you're already in a place, like, not knowing where your next, or like, knowing where your next paycheck, but this is only a part-time job. And, like, just a lot, so much uncertainty is happening. And then to have this person that you didn't even know come up in a parking lot and just say, can I pray for you? And then all of a sudden, a peace kind of came over me. I mean, I was still upset, obviously, but I knew that God was there with me. And then to have my dad, and then having Carolyn just give me a big hug, it was just like, you know, my family is around me, God is around me, and God is great. So, yeah.
That's a fantastic story, Candace. Is there one more? One more. Right here. Wow, good.
Several times I've said how thankful we are to be out here in Linden and how blessed we've been. And September was an exceptionally difficult month for us. And I am the eldest of a family of nine. And on September 24th, we got a call, and one of my younger brothers, he had been dealing with mental issues very seriously for about the last 4 years, and he had taken his life. Then on September, I believe it was 28th or something, I ended up having a heart attack. And all I can say is that through these times, God works in great and mysterious and wonderful ways. And as we're were dealing with all these situations, the people that had prayed for us can only, for me, when I had the heart attack, within the family itself, prior to that, we have spread across the entire Canadian country, and we were not very close. And after my brother took his life, we've been on the phone. When I say God works in wonderful and mysterious ways, we've become quite close. And this year in June, we will be having a memorial for my brother. And so that was one thing. And then the power of a church family. I don't know how to describe it. I don't have the words. But for the prayer and the support that we had, all I can say is thanks. And I just thank the Lord every day and every morning I get up. I say, thank you, Lord, for this day, a day that you have made. And I just say thanks to everyone here.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Lyle. Could I have the deacons come forward, and we will now do the communion together. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and after having given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you gave up your body to be broken for us in order that the price of sin might be paid for and we might be free. Oh, Jesus, we are so thankful for this gift to us. Amen. Let us eat together. In the same way, he took the cup also, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord Jesus, we are also thankful how you spilled your blood in order that we might be cleansed of the stain of sin. You forgive us, and we are clean. And day by day, we may go into whatever you have before us with thankfulness in our heart because of the freedom you have given us. Amen. Let us drink together. And now, if you would stand, let us sing the chorus to the song that we've been singing.